You can find Psalm 102 in the Pew Bible on page 501. I'm going to read Psalm 102. Give your attention to the Word of God. Psalm 102, a prayer of one afflicted, when he is faint, and pours out his complaint before the Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is struck down like grass and has withered. I forget to eat my bread. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my flesh. I am like a desert owl of the wilderness, like an owl of the waste places. I lie awake. I am like a lonely sparrow on the housetop. All the day my enemies taunt me. Those who deride me use my name for a curse. For I eat ashes like bread, and mingle tears with my drink, because of your indignation and anger. For you have taken me up and thrown me down. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations. You will arise and have pity on Zion. It is the time to favor her. The appointed time has come. For your servants hold her stones dear and have pity on her dust. Nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory. For the Lord builds up Zion. He appears in his glory. He regards the prayer of the destitute and does not despise their prayer. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord, that he looked down from his holy height. From heaven, the Lord looked at the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to die, that they may declare in Zion the name of the Lord and in Jerusalem his praise. When peoples gather together and kingdoms to worship the Lord. He has broken my strength in mid-course. He has shortened my days. O my God, I say, take me not away in the midst of my days, you whose years endure throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you. There's a book about a famous person that's entitled A Man for All Seasons. Obviously, the biographer admired his subject. I don't know if Thomas More really was a man for all seasons, but going through Psalm 100 and then Psalm 101 and then Psalm 102, maybe think of that, because if you put the three Psalms together, the message is that God is the God for all seasons. It's a good thing, because he's the only God there is. And it's a good thing, because the devil will want to convince you otherwise. Some of you, the devil will come and say, you know, God is not a God when you're happy. You don't need to think about God when you're happy. Or you'll find that the devil will come to you and say, well, actually, God is not a God for your sorrow. You can think about him when you're happy, but right now, don't think about him. You have other things to think about, because you're so sad.
People will say, God is not a God to think about when you're successful. You have better things to think about.
The devil will say, actually, you don't need to think about God when you're failing. You would need to study some more.
The devil has no need to be consistent, no desire to be consistent. Whatever he wants to say, he'll say. Whatever he can do to separate you from God. But he's a God for all seasons. And so Psalm 102, tonight we look at God, the God for your misery. What do you do when you are miserable? We see here first the psalmist asked for a hearing. Hear my prayer, O God. Let my cry come to you. You get the idea that he's been praying and he doesn't feel like God has been responding. But that doesn't stop him from continuing to pray. Let my cry come to you. He strengthens his plea. Don't hide your face from me. Answer me speedily. You might think of Job. He said, I want to talk to God. And Job went further than the psalmist does here. Job said, I want answers from God. Psalmist doesn't say that right here. But he asked God to hear and to answer. And we should too. We should not quit when God seems silent. We should redouble our prayer. Answer the day that I call. What we see next is this. In your misery, in your unhappiness, ask for a hearing and then describe your misery. I remember reading a very good book on prayer, a man named Miller, and he had this great idea. When you're praying and you have an idea of what you want to pray for and you're praying through it, only then you're distracted and you find that you're actually thinking about this over here, he suggests you don't need to flog yourself about getting off of your list. Just pray about that thing over here. It's what you want to think about? Well, then pray about it. It is what you are full of? Well, then pray about that thing. Now, how you pray about it depends on what it is. If you become anxious about your child, well, then pray about your child. If you're distracted by some temptation, well, then you pray differently. You pray, God, help me not to be obsessing about that temptation. Whatever it is. If your mind is drifting off in prayer, fine. Follow it. Not away from prayer, but take that topic and turn it back towards God. Pray about that topic. Because that's what you're full of, clearly. That's where your mind wants to go. And God can see that. It's not like you're hiding it from God, so take it to God then. If it's so much on your mind that it comes to mind as you pray. And so when you are miserable, you can describe your misery to God. The psalmist certainly does from verse 3 to verse 11. He says, my time is evaporating. My days pass away like smoke. Where's my life going? He says, my will to live is going even faster. My heart is struck down like grass. I forget to eat my bread. Saying, not only can't I go on, I don't even want to. He says he's in pain. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my flesh. He says he is isolated. I am like a desert owl of the wilderness, like an owl of the waste places. You say, I don't know the biology of those birds. Well, one thing comes through, the wilderness part. He's describing himself as being like a bird that's off by itself. It's a picture of being alone. He says, I can't sleep. I lie awake. That makes him feel more alone. Like a lonely sparrow on the housetop. But daytime doesn't help. He gets up and he has to see people and they mock him. And he says, why has this happened? He says, because God has turned his face to do this. He says, because of your indignation and anger, he must have sinned. He knows there's sin involved. He says, you're angry with my sin. And what's the result?
My time is evaporated. My days are like an evening shadow. Now, the cool thing about the evening shadow, you can check it out when you go outside. It's long. Cool. Look how big I am. Look at this evening shadow. However, how long will the evening shadow last? Don't try it with the lights here. It'll be all night. All right, go somewhere else. How long does the evening shadow last? It lasts until it gets totally dark. No more shadow. Well, that's a pretty bleak picture there. He's describing his misery quite comprehensively. And so we have that title. Doesn't tell us who it's from. Doesn't tell us what the situation was. It's a very general statement to encourage us all the more to use it when we are afflicted and faint. We're to be encouraged by the marvelous patience of God, who is willing to hear our complaints, willing to write down this lengthy account of misery in the Word of God. To use a modern phrase, he encourages us to process our pain in front of him. And then the psalmist turns and remembers who God is. But, what is an important word in the Bible? But, you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. That is, he's saying, I suffer, I waste away to nothing. If I'm remembered, it's only to mock me. But you are completely different. You reign. You endure. You're the eternal monarch. You are always remembered. You see, there's a complete contrast between your omnipotence and my weakness, your eternity and my evening shadow, from being worshipped and being derided and forgotten. Now, why is he pointing out the contrast? Does he mean, well, God, you can't understand me because you're so entirely different? That's true of a lot of human kings. The queen of whom it was said, the people have no bread, let them eat cake. Human kings are in a different situation, so they don't know. But that's not where he's going. He says, you are enthroned forever, you remembered. And the point is that you will arise and have pity on Zion. That is, since you are enthroned forever, you will achieve your goals. And you've told us what your goals are. That you will deliver your people. You know, Obama achieved some of his goals. And he did not achieve other goals. And those undone goals are going to remain undone because he doesn't get to be president again. President Trump has and will achieve some goals. He will not achieve other goals. And then he won't be president anymore. And they will remain unachieved. But God, since he is forever enthroned, he will achieve his aims. The one who's always the king will get where he says he's going to go. And so the psalmist can prophesy and say, you will arise and have pity on Zion, a hill in Jerusalem. That is, stands for Jerusalem. That is, it stands for God's people. And he can press his prayer then. You will arise. How about right now? It's the time to do it. Have favor. Because he's saying, this is who you are, God. Since you are forever the king, you will favor your people, 13 and 14, and you will conquer the world, verse 15. He's saying, this is who God is. He is the God who helps his people. He appears in his glory. He will not always remain invisible. He will appear in glory, and yet he's close to the poor. He doesn't despise the prayer. It doesn't just say of the poor, but of the destitute. He hears the one who has nothing. And so when Jesus came, he read this
The Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. So he did. He said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. It's our marvelous God, who's enthroned forever, and yet he hears the prayer of the poverty stricken. And he will raise up his people. And so let us pray, hallowed be your name. That's verses 18 to 22. Hallowed be your name. Let it be recorded for a generation yet to come. Let people who aren't yet born, let a nation that doesn't yet exist, find out about God and praise God. Why? Well, because he is the eternally enthroned one who looked down to set the prisoner free. And set the prisoner free not to wander around and get captured again, but set him free to worship God with his people. If I wonder, is this guy still suffering? Is it all over now? Because he's moved from calling for a hearing and intense misery to praising God with hallowed be your name. And so in our misery, let's pray about the misery. Let's describe our misery, but let's not stop. Let's also remember who God is. And as we remember who we're talking to, that helps us not to withdraw entirely into the corner of our misery. It helps us to pray with and for others, our Father. Helps us to pray to God and get out of ourselves and talk to him. And once we're talking to him, then we can ask him for help. Verse 23 and verse 24. He's broken my strength in mid-course. So I say, God, don't take me away in the midst of my days. There's his request. I know my days are short, but Lord, not this short. Don't cut me off that short. Help me to go on longer than this. And having stated his request, then he's done. You notice he doesn't have to go on at length with his request at all. Praise his request. And then he goes on. And he closes with another reflection on God who can help. He says, of old you laid the foundation of the earth. He's confident that God, the eternal creator, will redeem his people. That's the basis of God's kingship. He made us. He made everything, so he owns it. He's not like a pharaoh who makes a pyramid and then dies before the pyramid does. Quite the opposite. He says, the earth will pass away, but not you. It won't even be a big deal to you when all things pass away. The stars will wear out like your shirt. And you'll change them like you change a jacket. You'll change the sky like your shirt, but you'll stay the same. Which is an awesome thought. This eternal and unchangeable God. So how does this give the psalmist hope? Well, it doesn't end with the thought that God is there and unchangeable. It ends with the thought that God has a gracious and merciful plan. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. He says, I may not have much of a future, he says, but I know that God's people do. I know that Jesus will build his church, and the devil will not have the last word. So therefore, the seed of the woman will crush the seed of the serpent. And God's servants, their offspring, will live before God. So let's look at this psalm. What did he do, and how can we imitate it when we're in the same place? What do you do when you're really miserable? What do you do when you feel like God's against you? Because this psalmist feels like God is against him, verse 10. Well, we can pray and ask to be heard. We can describe our misery to God. We can acknowledge that God is merciful and powerful. He has a plan to save his people. And then we can make our request. and ask for our life to be saved, or whatever it is. We can ask to be saved with God's people, whom you know will endure. Verses 25 to 28. Now, there's one more thing to know about the psalm. That is, it's quoted in the New Testament and applied to Jesus. It's a good text to go to. Someone wants to say, why do you say that Jesus is God? Well, you start with Psalm 102 at verse 25, 26, and 27. You say, read this and tell me who this is about. Of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish and you remain. You will change them like a robe. They will pass away, but you are the same. Your years have no end. Who are we talking about? God. Good. Then you can turn to Hebrews chapter 1 at verse 8. You can say, notice it says, but of the Son he says. Okay, who is the Son? Anybody knows anything about the Bible? Jesus is the Son. Okay, good. So look at verse 10. Of the Son he says, verse 10, you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. Say, okay, so where is this from? Psalm 102. And what did we agree Psalm 102 was about? God. And what does that apply to here? Jesus. So if Hebrews says that Psalm 102, which is about God, is about Jesus, then Jesus is God. And if they want to know, well, why does it add the word Lord? It came from the Septuagint. It's clearly what it means. Now I'm pointing this out, but not just to equip you to answer questions about the divinity of Jesus. I'm pointing this out for your comfort. Because there's such a contrast in this psalm between our suffering and God's majesty that can be a problem for us. There shouldn't be. God's majesty gives us hope. If he weren't all-powerful, how could we know that he can help? If he wasn't eternal, how could we know that he's still there? He can help us because of his infinite majesty. But the devil tempts us to think he's so high, the Most High God, that's a barrier to him helping you in your misery. And so the very psalm that exalts God as the infinite creator is the one applied to Jesus, who took on our flesh and suffered like us and beyond us and for us. And Jesus ever lives to intercede for us so that we would be all the more assured that God understands the depths of our misery. So in your misery, cry out to God. You can describe your misery, but also describe God. And make your request, relying on the eternal goodness of God, who sent his own Son to become flesh and to experience our sufferings. Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for psalms like Psalm 102. Psalms that are sad, depressed, maybe even a little angry. We thank you for this. And we pray that you would use words like this to help us to know how to experience, how to express, what to do with the powerful experiences and emotions and situations that come our way. And Lord, we pray that you would ever sustain us and hear us in our distress. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.